When the Bosnian-Serb Gavrilo Princip assassinated the heir to the Austrian throne in Sarajevo in 1914, he was just short of his 20th birthday. Under Austrian law, this meant that he was too young to be executed. He was to spend the next 4 years in the garrison prison in Terezin, north of Prague, and this was where he died just before the end of the war, the result of tuberculosis and mistreatment. The little-known story of his forced stay in what is now the Czech Republic was the inspiration for the latest novel by the British writer David Whiteman, who has just ended a 2-month residency in Prague to complete the book. He spoke to David Vaughan.
The novel Black Hand is David Whiteman's second book to be set in and around Prague. David spent a year in the city in the mid-1990s, when he was in his late teens, and this was the impulse for his first novel, A Cure for Solitude, which drew widely from his experiences. David says that without Prague he would never have begun as a writer, so it is no surprise that his latest book returns to the city. But this time he goes back 100 years to the First World War. I began our conversation by asking him about his current stay in Prague through the City of Literature programme, which gave him the chance to put the finishing touches on Black Hand.
For about the past 5 years now, I've been in the process of writing a novel, which predominantly, almost exclusively, I think, takes place in Prague. And I'm actually coming towards the end of writing it. It just seemed like an irresistible point of time, really. 2 months to come and just focus on the writing and really kind of refresh myself with the Czech vernacular and just have an oasis of time.
So tell us what the book is about.
Its origin for me was when I came across the story of Gavrilo Princip, who is the young Bosnian Serb nationalist who assassinated the Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
In Sarajevo in 1914.
Exactly, which is the reason we are where we are now. But it just struck me that maybe he wasn't a particularly well-known figure. And so I started looking into Princip's story, really at the time with a mind to having it as a prologue to something else that I was writing at the time. But very quickly decided it was a story that I wanted to tell in its own right. Soon thereafter, I found out that Princip had actually gone to prison and been imprisoned here in Terezin, very close to Prague. And that seemed to kind of bring me full circle back to Prague, where I first really ever had thoughts about being a writer in the first place.
So to put this into context, Princip was caught. This was at a time when what is now the Czech Republic was part of Austro-Hungary.
That's right.
Terezin was a garrison. It was used as a prison. He was imprisoned, I suppose, more or less by chance, north of Prague, in Terezin.
He went on trial in Sarajevo, but to serve his sentence. It surprised me, first off, that he was still alive, that he hadn't faced the death penalty. But at the time when he assassinated the Archduke, he was 19. And under Austro-Hungarian law at the time, you couldn't be executed if you'd committed a crime under the age of 20. So he got away with that by the skin of his teeth. Having said that, I don't know if he would have been better off facing execution when he did. He didn't exactly have the best of times in Terezin. He was there for 4 years and in quite squalid conditions.
And your story, in parallel with the story of Gavrilo Princip, also tells the story of a group of young Czechs living in Prague at the same time, whose fates are intertwined with that of Princip.
True. I didn't really want to write in Princip's voice, him being a true life character. And also, I wasn't necessarily so interested in what Princip had done. Everybody knows he shot him, and then that went on to the July crisis and it caused the First World War. What I was more interested in was the consequences of his action. And instead of trying to write something epic that indulges in the consequences for all the world, I think you only really need to do it through the eyes of one person. So I just needed one character, and I thought I'll have a character similar in stature, similar in age to Princip, but who just may come from a different status of family. The war didn't impact ferociously on Prague at the very start of it. It was something more distant. These characters are able to carry on playing their music, continue their education, but I hope you get the sense that the war is a whirlpool out there somewhere.
The book is still work in progress, but you have nearly completed it, and so I know that you can read us a couple of extracts. You're going to read us an extract which really, I think, introduces us to some of the main characters in Prague, doesn't it?
Sure, yeah. This takes place in the Estates Theatre, famous in Prague. It's where Mozart himself premiered Don Giovanni. And this is a scene from The Mayor's Soiree. The book opens up the day before Christmas Eve, 1914. Waiters bearing trays of Christmas-themed canapés took to their rehearsed positions, while ushers stood ready at the doors to the main hall, where Don Giovanni's finale could be heard bouncing off the walls. When the last note fell silent, the audience erupted into a frenzy of whistles, involuntary yelps, and a rising swell of applause. On Herr Karl's signal, the doors were opened, and the ovations spilled out into the foyer like water from a broken dam. "I can't play with that racket going on," said Jan. "Pretend it's for you," said Lukasz. Karol tapped his bow on the body of his cello. When each of them was ready, he gently counted them into the allegro.
And so this is actually a group of young musicians, aren't they, in Prague? And you get a taste of their life in the city.
Three young musicians, one cantankerous cellist, yeah, who his talent far exceeds theirs, but it's really more of a side job to him. But yeah, two students who are students at Charles University, and another one who is vagabond, a vagrant, a busker. Hard to know what to say about Alois, to be honest.
And you feel the presence more and more of the First World War. I have a sense that the war is going to intrude into their lives very soon. Am I right?
Yes. There's not really any getting away from it. And it's really the way, as I was saying, about looking into the consequences of Prinship's actions and how they really take away the opportunity in the future that Lukasz would have had or could have had, which really is the story of the First World War. To me, it's, if you look at the average age of troops who were killed in the First World War, this is something that really impacted on people in their late teens, in their early 20s. They were sacrificed. I know we talk a lot about the sacrifice that they made, but they really were lambs to the slaughter.
And you have another extract from the book, which you're going to read us, which is from further on. This again brings us back to the story of Gavrilo Princip, doesn't it?
Well, this really is Princip's story through Lukasz's eyes. So the device I've used is Lukasz's father is the governor of Terezin prison, and in an attempt to keep their son out of harm's way, as conscription and things are mounting, the appropriate officials are bribed, and if not to give too much away, Lukasz ends up being a guard at Terezin prison and encountering Princip face to face and really getting his story. So when, in my story, when we get to Princip's story, we hear it through Lukasz's voice. Hopefully this develops his character more so, but we'll see. We'll see what kind of a writer Lukasz is. What manner of age defines us? Is it the accumulate orbits for which we have ridden this blue and emerald rock around the sun, despite the reaper's indiscriminate swings of his scythe? Or is it the age of civilization into which we are each so unwittingly born? In Princip's case, I would argue that the answer is an equally proportioned prescription of both. For according to the records of the court, it was July 25th, 1894, when his mother delivered him with her own two hands onto the homestead's earthen floor, which puts him at 20 years and 7 months on this, the day of my writing. But so far as his future holds, it's of greater relevance to note, this left him 35 days short of his 20th birthday, the day he shot the heir to the throne. but that he was before then still welcome in his mother's belly, he would have hung by the neck until dead. And so says Habsburg law. As for the stage of civilization on which he made his bow, one must inquire into the history of his people. As a Serb, he is cut from the blood-stained cloth of militant martyrs who were not born, but made that way. Indulge me, then, if I cast my eyes back further than the fastidious reader would beg of me. I would not trouble your time or mine if it did not bear fruit on the branches of this story. The thing with Lukács, of course, is he's a first-time writer, and he's a young man, so it was very interesting trying to tap into how I wrote when I first started, because it's very tempting to make everything grand and luxurious and really revel in the language, as young men do. But trying to make that good is quite a challenge as well.
And what became of Gavrilo Princip in the end?
He'd already contracted tuberculosis before the assassination. He'd coughed blood. Tuberculosis wasn't uncommon amongst his peers. And he died of tuberculosis and maltreatment and malnutrition, I would say, in 1918. So he never actually survived till the end of the war.
There is an obvious echo in the fact that part of this story takes place in Terezin, of what we know of what happened in Terezin later in the Second World War, that Terezin was the ghetto to which Jews from all over Europe were sent during the German occupation, very few of whom survived. Was that in your mind, or in the back of your mind as well, as you were writing this?
I've been to Terezin. I've been to everywhere that I've written about. I've travelled through the Balkans. I've followed in Princip's footsteps as much as I can. And it's impossible to go to Terezin and not to be caught up in that. Just as it's impossible to travel through the Balkans and not get caught up in the history of the breakup of Yugoslavia. The fine balance I've had to walk in writing this book is that no character I'm writing about is aware of the breakup of Yugoslavia and the horrible civil war that ensued.
Or even, in fact, aware of the fact that Yugoslavia is going to come into existence, because this is before Yugoslavia even existed.
Exactly. I think probably the only character in the book who might have any idea of it would be Princip, because that was his stated goal. He wanted a state for the southern Slavs, and that's exactly what Yugoslavia means, southern Slav.
And just as the Czech characters in the book have no idea that Czechoslovakia is just round the corner.
No, this really is the birth of nations. Nationalism is the spirit of the time. The Russian Revolution hasn't happened. This is the age of empire. And this is the war that brought all that to an end.
Prague is where you came when you were a very young man, still a teenager. Your first novel, A Cure for Solitude, which really put you on the map and made you well known, is also set in Prague, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, that comes out of, well, very loosely based on my time living here in the 90s. I first came here, I think it was 92 or 93, I would have been 14 or 15. But then I came back for an extended stay. I think I lived here for most of 96. And when I began writing, I moved back here again in 2000. But I haven't fully explained it to myself. I don't sit up thinking about it. But I came here when I was 19, and I guess that's a time in anyone's life when they're going through some changes. And just coincidentally, when I was here, it's a time when the Czech Republic was going through many changes as well. It was felt an optimistic time. And I think as a 19-year-old, I was probably quite optimistic myself about the future. And me and Prague seemed to have something in common. And it seemed to get under my skin. I couldn't shake the Czechs out of my system. So I think I started trying to write them out of my system, and that's got me back here. So.
And now you've spent 2 months here in Prague. You're just finishing your Prague novel, Black Hand, your second Prague novel, Black Hand. Have you got Czechs out of your system now?
No, they're back in. What always strikes me whenever I'm here is how much you can learn from the Czechs about their culture, about their history. They are so well informed. And I feel very privileged that I'd have to say 95% of everything I've ever learnt about this country and this city has come straight from the horse's mouth.
Sitting in pubs, talking to people,
If you're going to engage with the Czechs, you know where to find them. Yeah.
David Whiteman, enjoy the rest of your stay in Prague. Thank you very much indeed for talking to me.
Thank you. Thank you very much.